Welcome to Extra Feature Special Horror Edition. This should be a monthly installment if we don't screw it up. So our first one will be on Nightmare on Elm Street, the first five. Part two will come out shortly. We hope so. And we're also going to discuss a beer every week. So sit back, relax, enjoy. Maybe watch some films with us. It's all here. And my special guest this week is...
Hi, Mark Zielbro. I'm from the Movie Buff. Got our podcast, first horror edition. Very excited about it. Thanks for inviting me on.
Inviting you on? Do I have a choice? It kind of twists my arm, I thought.
That's true. But I got to make it sound nice.
And I should introduce myself. I'm Simon, of course. Everybody knows me from the Extra Features podcast, the king of Twitter. So, Mark, I heard we should have brought a beverage to this podcast, I was told on the email, so I hope you brought me a lovely beverage to talk about before we started.
I certainly did bring you a lovely beverage to talk about. I am consuming a Heineken.
That doesn't sound very lovely, Mark.
It's good and it's sentimental. It's the first beer I ever started drinking.
Well, that was a mistake, seeing she started with a better beer. And I'm drinking from Niagara Falls, from Smith Works, called the Dam Buster.
All right.
It's a little bitter. I'd probably give it a 4.5 out of 10, maybe a 5.
All right.
It's very dark, about a 5.6.
5.6? That's pretty high for you.
Yeah. So, no, 5.6 is the alcohol content.
Okay.
I'm like your 3.4.
Your rating.
No, my rating's 4.5.
4.5. Wow.
So what got you into horror, Mark? Why horror movies?
Why horror movies? Good question. I think, Friday the 13th got me into horror movies, honestly. I remember having the marathons on TV when I was a teenager and just staying up watching the entirety of them and just being completely enamored with the goofiness, but yet awesome atmosphere of them.
Yeah, most of them I find are very goofy.
Yeah, I mean the setup is the same every time. You go through a bunch of teenagers, one survives and runs and kills him, but it's so predictable. But it's that, you know, a lot of them don't even scare me; they're just humorous. But
I think I agree with you 100%.
Yeah,
most of them.
I think it's a great
genre,
though.
I think if you get a good film, it's a good genre. It's like any genre. It's very repetitious.
That's true. Unless you get some twists on the genre and different. Obviously, the slasher films are the same, but there's some that try to break the mold a little bit.
Well, that's good. So, are you ready for our first film on our Nightmare on Elm Street?
I certainly am.
I did make a few notes. Is that okay? I hope that doesn't upset
it's
you.
Not at all. Let's go with it.
The budget was only $1.8 million, which I was quite surprised at.
Yeah, it was very... I remember hearing that, like, certain scenes, like, there's a scene where Heather Langenkamp is running through an alley or whatever, and she caught her ankle on the set, you know, not in the movie, but on the set, and she had to, like, just keep going because they were running out of time to film because of the budget being so small.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so Wes Craven was in a rush to get it done.
So no chance to stop. I guess you just
kind of just running, you know, running. I mean, like, just I think that's very $1.8 million. That's big. Like, I think John Carpenter shot Halloween on like $100,000, didn't he?
I have no idea.
Very minimal, you know, but some of the best movies come out of that, you know.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think the new technology is so rich and eye-catching, and, you know, but it's like you lose a lot of that imaginative feeling that some of these goofy special effects from these old movies give you.
Okay, Freddy was created from photographs of burn victims, I read.
Was the? I didn't hear that.
Yeah, I did some research. I did find it fascinating that Wes Craven came upon this idea by reading disturbing nightmares from people.
Yeah, he actually it's actually based on like a composite of like three or four stories he heard of these children from Laos, I believe.
That's correct.
Yeah, the worst of which had been having nightmares because his parents, I believe himself, were in like an internment camp, and you know, his parents found him dead with a coffee pot in his room because he refused to go to sleep, which gave him the idea for that whole atmosphere of the Nightmare on the Street.
Just a couple more things before we start. Freddy was New Line Cinema's first movie.
Was it really? That,
yes.
Wow. That's an impressive thought.
Which one thing I didn't know, David Warner was supposed to be playing Freddy.
David Warner?
Yes. By me. The guy from Waxworks and a few other horror movies was supposed to be Freddy, but he had to drop out due to scheduling conflicts. He was the first choice. So what do you think of that? Uh-oh, we've lost Mark so early in the podcast. We'll have to get him back. Please stand by. And we have Mark back.
Hello, I'm back.
Wow, weird, these podcasting world that the internet decides to magically shut down. So your comments on David Warner being the first Freddy?
Oh, I had just been saying that it's remarkable that a scheduling conflict like that gave birth to such an iconic portrayal of Freddy.
I think that's awesome, but I mean, Robert Englund made his career, that was it.
Yeah.
It's not like he's done much else.
No, he's been in a couple of goofy movies, you know, Urban Legend, whatever, you know.
Yeah, but he only got that job because of Freddy.
Exactly.
And don't forget Zombie Strippers.
He was in that?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
He was in Zombie Strippers, I've seen it. We don't need to discuss that any further. And as one of the last note I have on Freddy 1 is 500 gallons of blood was used.
I think I heard that.
So let's get into Freddy 1. You got a synopsis, actors, actresses,
I do. I animals. Have that for you here. So Nightmare on Elm Street, part 1, 1984, stars Heather Langenkamp, Johnny Depp, Robert Englund, John Saxon, Ronnie Blakely, Amanda Weiss, Yesu Garcia.
Yeah, I don't know who the philosophy people are. They haven't done anything for me lately.
I mean, I know who they all are, but but anyways, yep, that's the cast of the first one here.
Did you bring us a synopsis?
A synopsis, you know, basically there's a bunch of teenagers that are having terrible dreams. One gets murdered in their sleep, and slowly starts to come out that there's a demon haunting them named Freddy Krueger, who had kind of had a town history as being a serial killer.
Wow, did you write this out, or is this like by memory, it sounds like?
This is by memory.
I thought so. So, let's start this off. I think I saw this film when I was 13.
You thought it was when you were 13?
13 or 14, yeah. I saw it pretty much really scared the bejesus out of me. I didn't watch horror movies for a long time. Did not watch them. This scared me that bad.
This scared you that bad? You watched horror movies for a long time?
I stopped. I could not watch them anymore. No, it was too scary. I was 13. I was not ready for this.
Wow. I mean, I won't be right. I don't think I saw this until I was in my 20s.
Yeah, I remember going to a friend's place going, yeah, this is not for me. So I stopped watching the horror genre for a long time, probably 20 years. I wouldn't watch any horror films.
You stopped watching horror for 20 years?
Probably, yeah. Not until my 30s did I start watching them again because of this movie.
That's crazy, man.
I think this movie works on pretty much every level it's supposed to.
Yeah, I mean, so what do you think? Give me your rundown of it.
Well, first. I think Freddy's creepy enough.
Yeah.
I think the claws work. I think the makeup works. I think his creepiness factor, I guess, is what I'm trying to get at. You really think Freddy can kill people at this point? which we'll discuss later when he becomes a little bit more of a farce.
I completely agree. I mean, yeah, this movie is creepy from the beginning with the you know, boiler room, you know, claw slashing the curtain, the creepy voice, just the fact that you never see him unless somebody's dreaming. That makes it so
it's perfect.
Yeah, so realistic in its own kind of weird way, you know.
And the parents don't believe her in anything. I think it's the first time we really saw that kind of horror. Before, you kind of knew what the villain was. This one, we had no idea. It was all in her head, we thought. And
yeah.
People were dying. We know they didn't know why.
It's, you know, they set it up so that the kids are all by themselves. They're alone.
Yeah, and I think this kind of sets it up for that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, we just find out what happened. And the story evolves perfectly. It keeps giving you little tidbits. As
yeah.
Heather Langenkamp wants to know more, we learn more, because we need to know more.
Of course we do.
And I think the storyline works perfectly that way, doling it out bit by bit.
Yeah, till it finally gets, you know, to, like, some of the creepier scenes of the film, like when she goes to the sleep clinic, which is my favorite scene in the whole movie, I think.
Oh, mine's the tub.
Yours is the tub?
I think the tub of the hand coming out is pretty creepy. Because you think she's going to get it.
Yeah, you think she's going to get it. And I like, you know, the scene I mentioned, it's just like the towel is showing in that, you know, towel type thing with, like, her hair turning gray from how scared she is in the dream. Like, those are the things that the Craven just did perfectly in this movie.
And let's go back up to the Johnny Depp death scene. Do you think that he did enough blood sucking him through the mattress?
Yeah, I think all 500 pounds of blood got used in that scene.
I think they were. It's just insane.
Yeah.
And I like the end of the film with the Corvette and the fake dream. I thought that was really good because you don't know really what happened at the end.
Oh, you like that one?
I do enjoy the end of the movie, yes.
Because that part, I like the way Wes Craven wanted to end it with her beating Freddy in her room.
Yes.
But he was kind of forced into the sequel plug at the end. But, you know, it sets up the sequels. I would have liked to see him been able to end it the way he wanted to end it, but.
That's why Wes Craven wanted the next one. He's like, nope, I'm done. That's it. Yeah. That's my story.
Of course.
And I know, I thought the acting was fun. I thought they did a good job of casting. Nobody really felt out of place. I thought the parents were well done.
Not at all. I mean, the stunts are a little, the special effects are a little, you know, dated. But like,
for 80, for the year, we knew this. I mean, this was a low budget B movie.
Yeah.
It wasn't supposed to be a hit.
I mean, I don't know if Wes Craven expected it to do what it did for him.
I would say no.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't see anything. Did I ever tell you I met Wes Craven once?
No, I didn't hear the story. What happened?
I was just at a film festival, and I think it was Nightmare on Elm Street 3 or 4. Re-release, and he just happened to be in Toronto, and I met him. Super nice guy.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if he's a nice guy.
Very nice, had a nice chat, and unfortunately I didn't have a photo for him, but I did have an 80s book, like movies of the 80s.
Okay.
And he looked at me and goes, I don't see a picture of me. I said, oh, you're in the article. And he looked and goes, yep, there's my name, and signed the article. Because I had a picture of Heather Langenkamp, because she was there and he was there.
Sure.
And they both signed. Because she signed the photo because it was in a book because we didn't have 8x10s back then, no access to them.
Right.
And then he signed my book because, oh, yeah, I did meet Wes Craven years ago. Very nice man. Very humble.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't become like a director until his 30s. I think even later than that, not 30s, like, I forget how old he was, but he was like older adult before he got into this stuff. He had like a different job.
Wow.
Like a dead-end job.
He's working at a convenience store. Sure, like,
yeah. It wasn't that bad, but I mean.
He was a tax accountant.
I don't remember. It was something like that, just something soul-crushing, and then he wanted to, he got into movies and somehow made it.
Good for him.
Yeah.
I think that works for some people.
No, me too, absolutely.
Anything else to say about Freddie? I give it a 10.
No, I mean, we reviewed this on our site as well, and I gave it an A plus. It's just a fantastic movie. Really kind of a standout film. Absolutely the best in the series.
Oh, well, there's no doubt about that, but we'll look into the best in the series as we move along.
Okay.
Nightmare on Elm Street 2 is Freddy's Revenge.
It is Freddy's Revenge, released a year later, 1985. Stars Mark Patton, Kit Myers, Robert Ressler, Lou Gehrig, Paul Bling, Marshall Bell, and... this is one is that.
You're breaking up a bit, just so you know. No, you're all broken up.
I don't know what's going on. I can hear you fine.
Oh, really weird. Okay, what did you think of Freddy's Revenge?
What did I think of it? I mean, among my friend, like, I'm like the one that actually likes this movie. I think it was one of the last Freddy movies that was actually scary. I know it's a little goofy with him coming out into the real world, but it has some scary scenes in the beginning and towards the end. I think it's a very creepy premise to the entire thing.
You think Freddy kind of come out and die to the real world to get a body back? Strange.
It's really strange. I mean, and Wes Craven did nothing to do with the plot because he thought a 5 foot something monster, was unrealistic. He was a dream monster. That's how he was created. You know, but well,
I have to agree with Craven. I mean, the acting is bad. The art direction is bad. I think the premise is dumb. He's a dream monster. He's dead.
Yeah, that's what I did.
Why is he trying to come back? You know, it's not like he's trying to possess the guy's body. He's trying to come out of the guy's body. Does that make any sense to you? Hello?
Yeah, he's not trying to possess him. He's trying to come out into the real world. And I agree on the level. It's a goofy plot, but I think the movie has enough. Putting that aside, enough creepy elements where it works on a couple levels.
The party scene works on a level. What level?
The party scene is not the scene I'm talking about.
Well, what scene are you referring to? The party scene is just atrocious, like bad.
No, that's absolutely ridiculous. I think the ending is kind of ridiculous too. I just like some of the earlier scenes where he first starts coming back. I think those have some of the old school elements.
I'll give you the first half an hour of this film had an idea, solid idea. Then it just falls apart. I mean, when Freddy comes out into the real world and he shows up to the party and just starts becoming a mockery of himself and stabbing him, like, what are you doing? That's not what Freddy does.
Yeah, that's more like a Jason Voorhees just hacking them up type
thing.
Yeah,
that's exactly what it reminded me of. And I was kind of like, okay.
No, I'll give you that.
Like, I just think this film was very flawed from the beginning.
Yeah, to dial down from the first one to this was, you know, a letdown.
Oh, I agree with you 100%.
Yeah.
But it made a lot of money.
I know. Well, they pounded these bad boys out like one a year.
Well, they were cheap to make.
Yeah, it was a good idea.
I mean, it cost $3 million. It made it, I don't know how much it made. I should have wrote it down.
Okay. But it probably surpassed the budget, I'm guessing.
Well, one would hope so.
Yeah.
Well, it would have to pass the budget. It wouldn't have made another one.
That's true.
So what did you give Freddy 2 then?
What do I give Freddy 2? Well, let's find out what I gave Freddy 2.
Oh, you have it on your site?
I do have it on the site.
Site would be?
It's www.themoviebuff.net. I review one of these every year. So we're going to put part three up this year.
Who's reviewing it?
I will be.
Okay.
Okay, so I'll give this a C-.
Oof, that's being generous.
Well, I'm a kind reviewer.
Okay, I guess we're off to the third one, Dream Something.
Yes, the third one is obviously Freddy Part 3, Dream Warriors, 1987, actually, so two years after the other one. I was wrong about that. You know, once again, obviously, stars Robert Englund, Heather Langenkamp is back in this one, Craig Weston, Patricia Arquette, Ken Segas, Rodney Eastman, Jennifer Rubin, Lawrence Fishburne, and Ira Heiden.
Come on, he's Larry Fishburne in it.
Oh, it says Lawrence Fishburne. Did I say Larry?
No, I'm bugging you.
Oh, okay. I thought I messed up.
He's Larry back then.
You know, this one takes place at a psychiatric hospital where a bunch of kids are having bad dreams, and you know, Heather Langenkamp, Nancy's character, comes back as like a dream analyst to try to help with this. You know, I think one of my only friends that I couldn't stand this movie.
Again, I think it has a good premise at the beginning that they take pills. Isn't this the one that take pills and they can't wake up?
I believe it's, not wake up, but I think not.
They don't dream, so they don't dream. I think that was a great idea. I thought that one actually worked, but I think this, again, the problem is they treat Freddy like a joke.
That's exactly my problem with this. It's like grabbing the girl through the TV, welcome to prime time, bitch. It's just so dumb, you know?
Welcome to prime time, bitch. There's my Freddy voice for you.
Thank you, that was very authentic.
I think that's pretty close, actually. The problem is with this for mainly, it's just, again, they're getting away from what works for me, suspense.
Yeah.
I'm just watching to watch teenagers get killed.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. Like, critics, I know Roger Ebert used to have a big problem with dead teenager movies. There's no suspense. And what worked so well about the first one was that element of, like, Freddy's gone when they're not dreaming, of the suspense, of the fact that you knew they were dreaming. That was the thing.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
What's Freddy doing when they're not dreaming? Is he sitting there watching some TV or having lunch? Or what's he doing?
I don't know the answer to that. He might be sharpening his knives for all I know.
Oh, we've seen him sharpen his knives. He usually does that when he's walking around.
Yeah. That's true.
And he's just, I don't know. Again, I think this was the start of the downfall heavily.
This was the start of the downfall. It was the start of the joking. And that's what I mean about part two, which we just talked about, is like he wasn't so comic, at least. Like, this is the start of the, oh, I'm going to crack jokes and
horrible be funny. Jokes.
And, like, he, you know, he didn't talk in part one. He barely talked, and he only said creepy things. And this one was just...
But that's why one worked.
No, that's why one worked.
He scared me.
Exactly.
I didn't think he was a clown. When we start thinking Freddy's a clown in three...
Yeah.
Then he loses the interest.
Right. And three is exactly where it starts.
Because welcome to prime time. And he's sucking people this. And I'm like.
Yeah, eating people. And it's just like, it's so.
But it's the stupid joking to me that bugged me in this movie. It was just constant. I mean, Hanger Langenkamp just got better looking as far as I'm concerned for the first one. She's smoking cute.
Yeah. I will give you an agreement on that one.
Acting ability? Nah, not so good.
Yeah. But you're right, and like, again, the creepiest thing about the first one was the fact that no one knew about it except for these kids, and now that everybody knows about it.
Well, I don't know, there's my argument with this film. Does everybody know about it? Nobody believes them. Freddy Krueger's dead, that's all we hear all the time.
You know, so we got that at least, you know.
So they all tell him Freddy Krueger's always dead. Well, he's obviously not. Yeah. Like, how stupid are these people?
I don't know. That's a good point.
I really think of the adults in these movies going, he's obviously not dead. I understand it's a movie. I should have suspension of disbelief. Yeah. I get that. But shouldn't somebody figure this out that maybe he isn't dead or something's killing everybody? Especially when it's a sequel.
Yeah, I mean, I think they needed to up the ante, and they didn't do that.
Well, they upped the body count. That's their whole plan every movie. Yeah. And I don't want that. I mean, I do want kills, don't get me wrong, but I think this is starting, we're starting to see just a kill flick. Gore porn? Is that what it's called? Do I have the right term?
Torture porn.
No, it's not torture. Oh, he doesn't torture anybody.
But that's the term I thought you were talking about.
No, gore porn. Torture porn to me is hostile.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's like the scenes where it's like, oh, he's dangling the kid by his own, you know, tendons out the window. How cool is this? Like, it's just like, it's, you know, it was about, whereas the first one was about the setup, not rather than the kill. This one's just all about no setup and gory deaths, like you said.
Well, I'm just wondering, yeah. I don't know, just thought it was just, okay, sure.
No, I'm with you. I'm completely in agreement with you.
Okay. Whether Arquette's just, she's fine. I didn't see real acting ability from her in this film.
Yeah, she was. I mean, I don't think it was introducing her in this movie, but it was obviously really early on in her career, you know.
I know, but sometimes you can see it early that they might have something.
Yeah, that's true.
But I didn't see anything from anybody in these people.
No. I hear you, and I agree.
I don't know. Okay, I guess the budget of, what's the budget, $3 million? No, that was it, $4.5 million. It goes up this one.
$4.5 million. Yeah. I mean, I imagine it did really well.
Oh, I'm sure it did. They made more.
Oh, they made a lot more.
Did these come out in theaters? Yes. This one was the last theater.
Yeah, they were all released in theaters.
Were they really?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
I remember five
the videos. I mean, they were for the time, you know? It's like all the Jason movies. They all came out in theater, even though they're just like, if it wasn't for Jason, they'd be the worst B-movie ever.
Oh, no, no, no. Critters.
We'll save Critters.
Critters would be on my list. Next up, part four.
Part four is The Nightmare on Elm Street 4, The Dream Master, 1988. So now we're back to a year after the previous one. Stars John Beckman, Keisha Brackle, Brooke Bundy, Wanda Bercy, Hope Marie Colton, Kristen Clayton, Rodney Eastman, and Robert Englund. And this one...
Isn't this Freddy's origin?
It gets into Freddy's origin. It gets into the fact that, like, the one, I believe is Patricia Arquette's character from the previous one...
Yes, correct.
...kind of becomes, like, a way for him to spread himself...
Yeah, he's trying...
...to other kids.
Yeah, but here's my thing. Again, another continuation... the Christian obviously knows that Freddy's alive. She was alive last movie.
Right.
She made it through to this one. We know she's dropping dead this one.
Yeah, that's the cliched horror movie trope, you know?
Because we killed Hanger Lane Camp, finally.
Yeah, she left this planet.
Yeah. So I'm kind of like, we get to this one, and now this is just becoming a super joke to me.
Yeah, at this point, it's just goofy. I mean, I honestly, to be honest with you, like, I liked the group of kids in this movie.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I thought some of the aspects of it were interesting. I liked the 80s, you know, soundtrack.
Oh, the soundtrack's fun. There's no issue with that.
And I do like some of the kids. I think it gets, you know, it's just him killing people in creative, over the top ways and
made
little,
50
if
million.
Anything, that's a storyline.
Made $50 million.
Wow.
So there you go. It's making money, but I don't know who is seeing these films and why.
Again,
Kristen draws people into her dreams. Ability to her friend Alice before her demise. Afterwards, Alice soon realizes that Freddy is taking advantage of the unknown power she now wields to pull a new group of teenagers into his foul domain. Now, this is where I have a problem.
Okay.
Isn't he a child molester?
If you want to be technical, he's dead, but he was a child molester.
And why is he going after teens? Why is he not going after little kids?
Well, he had killed a number of kids in the town before he was tracked down and burned in by a mob.
Isn't this Freddy's origin? We find out how to kill Freddy from his mom the first time we see her.
To be honest, I don't remember if that.
I'm pretty sure this is the film we find out that Freddy's mom was raped by 100 psychos. I think it's this one.
100 maniacs in an insane asylum.
I'm pretty sure this is the one because the woman in her dreams keeps seeing the nut.
Right, right. Who is
Bill?
I forgot her first name. But,
you said it. Second credit. Oh, hold on.
No, I forgot Kruger's for his mother's first
name. Alice?
No, it's not Alice.
Hold on, I'll tell you in a second. Elaine?
It's not Elaine.
It's, what's else around? Where is her name?
It's Amanda.
Amanda?
Yeah, it's Amanda Kruger.
There you go. Good work.
Yeah, I didn't have to look it up. It just came to me.
I don't know. It's just one of those things. It's just more dumb one-liners to me. Teenagers getting munched. There's no real point to watching these.
I think you nailed it.
I just get to the point. I'm just like, okay, had enough of this shit. Yeah. I just don't care. Punched.
Exactly.
Okay. Oh, this is going quickly. I don't have much to say about them. I guess you don't either, because they're just bad movies.
They're just, I mean, to be honest with you, they just get sequentially worse until at least one of the films that we'll talk about on the continuation of this podcast.
You mean there's an actual good film? Yeah, I've seen them all.
Yeah. But on this run, yeah, they just keep getting worse.
But they're making money, though.
They are making money because Freddy Krueger's a hit. People love him. They're going to go see him every time he comes out, especially people, obviously, they'll love horror. This took place in the 80s. It was perfect, you know?
Yeah, we didn't have a lot of options in the 80s. I mean, other than romantic comedies.
That's true. I mean,
and Arnold movies.
But the 80s really had the horror niche down pat, you know?
They did.
Well, yeah, if you say anything else about it, you know.
I find the horror genre has kind of gone away a bit.
I think the horror genre has suffered a lot and turned simply into, like we were saying before, this like gore porn. It's really all it is. And some of the haunting movies that you get, but this kind of suspenseful slasher films are gone, you know.
Yeah, okay. Well, A Nightmare on Elm Street 5, The Dream Child.
The Dream Child, 1989. Stars Robert Englund, Lisa Wilcox, Kelly Jo Minter, Danny Hassel, Eric Anderson, Nicholas Meeley, Joe Seeley, Clarence Felder. This is kind of just a continuation of the ridiculousness of part 4, but far worse.
This is just awful.
It's barely watchable. I mean,
I don't think this movie is watchable. I think it bombed in the box office.
Yeah,
it cost $6 million to make and made $22 million. That's not enough.
No, it's not. It's not enough. I don't think.
I mean, she keeps having dreams of watching Amanda give birth to a deformed-looking baby. And there's my argument. Freddy wasn't never supposed to look deformed. Because he doesn't look deformed in the movie.
No, he's a regular human being. I think my biggest problem with this movie and some of the previous two were simply that, like, the reason I'm not scary, aside from the gore, is because it's like you have no idea when someone's dreaming. They just get killed in these ridiculous fashions, and there's no segue to, like, it being creepy.
None. It's just, like I said, it's just, to me, just a slasher movie. I'll tell you how many people we can kill before the end.
Yeah, it's a slasher movie, but yeah, it's just like, you know, it's just to take a concept that was so amazing in the first one, just to trash it like this, just you see what it could have been, and they just they didn't write good stories for these at all.
Yeah, but there were, I don't know, I just find the 80s was the years of the sequel for horror. If you had a franchise, you just ran into the ground in the 80s.
No, yeah, of course, and they certainly did that.
But we don't see that in the 90s too much. I think we're seeing it again recently. The return to writing sequels into the ground.
Like with what, for instance?
Blair Witch? Evil Dead. Evil Dead. Blair Witch.
Okay.
That's all I can think of top of my head. Magnificent Seven. Let's start another franchise. Do you know what I mean? Like, Magnificent Seven is the fourth movie in that series.
Right.
And, oh, they brought back, I mean, Freddy, they brought back a few years ago. They're going to bring him back again.
Are they really?
Jason's coming back, yeah, for another one.
That, I mean, I'll watch that stuff every time it comes out, even though it's, I'm such a sucker for it.
So am I. I'll watch it now because I think it's funny.
Yeah.
I'm not 13-year-old me anymore.
So, that's true. Now you think it's funny instead of being horrified, avoiding the horror genre for 20 years.
Yeah, well, it's weird. I'm playing catch up, I guess.
Yeah, of course.
So I guess that's about it. I hope everybody enjoyed our little quick reviews of Freddy 1 to 5. Mark?
Yeah, and please join us soon for our next installment where we'll continue our Freddy podcast and maybe talk about some old other favorites that people might have. And please join Simon and Bull Simon on Extra Features and myself on themovieBuff.net for 31 Days of Halloween. For all month long.
Yeah, I have 31 days of tweets coming.
Tweets and reviews coming your way.
There they are. Okay, everyone, have a great night, and thank you.
Thank you.